morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we're going to be finding out about programs, events, special happenings from the Columbia River Maritime Museum, the incredibly esteemed museum right here in our backyard in Astoria, Oregon. Today in the studio, I have Nate Sandel. He is the education director of the Columbia River Maritime Museum. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how's it going?
I just love your passion for what you're doing. And I had no idea there were so many things going on at Columbia River Maritime Museum. And I'm sure that a lot of locals will be very happy to hear the things you have to say today. But before we start talking about the Maritime Museum, please tell the listening audience about yourself.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised on the coast of Lake Michigan in a little tiny town of about 3,000 people called Whitehall. Just an idyllic place to be raised, sort of like Astoria, but on a smaller scale. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I've always loved working with kids, from being summer camp counselors. I went to school to be an educator. It's just my passion is passing on my passion with the students.
And so as the education director, well, I guess we'll talk about those programs. So maybe we should. So you have lived in Astoria for how long?
Yeah. So my wife and I moved here in 2004, and we were just a little baby, skinny, 23 years old, fresh out of school.
And then you got involved with the Maritime Museum.
Yeah. So that first year when we were here, I was working at a local school and I met a person who worked for the museum who I thought had the most amazing job. She got to go to all the different schools and write education programs and inspire the kids all over Oregon and Washington. And I told her, "You have the best job in the world. If you ever leave, please let me know." And about a month later, she pulled me aside and said, "Hey, I'm going to be resigning here next week." And I hopped right on it, and sort of the rest is history.
Yeah. So you were there. So you've been at the Maritime Museum essentially for 11 years. Is that right?
Yeah. So 15 years total. 15 years, but I took about a 4-year break where I worked for another company on the East Coast.
Right. Okay. So now you're back, and we're so lucky because I know my daughter actually worked with you when she was working at the Maritime Museum, like, gosh, a decade ago. 15 years ago. Exactly. Well, there may be some listeners who aren't familiar with what is the Columbia River Maritime Museum. I mean, people see it here on the waterfront. They see the Columbia River lightship. And what is the Columbia River Maritime Museum? Let's hear a little history, please.
Perfect. Well, the Maritime Museum was founded by Rolf Klepp, who right now we have an amazing little mini exhibit that our curatorial department put on about him. He was an illustrator. If you remember the old Time Life books and you know, all those amazing little drawings that they would have, he was the one who was doing that. He did works for NASA. He was famous for these cutaway drawings of airplanes and ships. Just a very eccentric, passionate fellow who was from this area and decided that the Columbia River deserved to have a museum that would interpret and collect all of its amazing history.
And it is now a world-class, internationally renowned museum.
Absolutely.
So, and that was 55 years ago?
Over 55 years ago, yeah. It originally started where the Clatsop County Heritage Museum is now, which is the old city hall. And the lightship was where it still is today on a different dock, of course. And in the 1980s, the museum moved into its current building. And then, of course, in the early 2000s, did that fantastic renovation that put in the Coast Guard 44-footer in the window, and we really opened up the museum. The museum is continually upgrading our campus. The parking lot used to be a trailer park, if you can believe it. Looking at some of these old pictures, if you wanted to go to the museum, you would sometimes have to dodge trains that would be parked on those tracks right there and shimmy on through to get into the front entrance of the museum.
Wow.
And now that entire area is our campus, all the way down past the Barbie Maritime Center.
Yeah, it's you all have expanded. And the Barbie Center, how long? Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, so the Barbie Center was donated to the museum by the Great Northern Railroad, and it basically sat vacant on our property for several years, like maybe 20 years. A lot of money had to be put in. It wasn't structurally sound. Our executive director, Sam Johnson, made it his goal is to revive that building and turn it into a world-class boat shop, which it is today. And as I'm speaking to you, we have 10 very talented students participating in an underwater robotics summer camp in that building.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, the Barbie Center was the old Astoria train station.
Yes.
And it is now an educational center and boat building center. And how long has that been? Was that renovated?
It was renovated during my time when I was away from the museum. So sometime in the last 5 years.
That's what I thought. Okay. So it's a meeting space. People actually rent it as a facility as well.
Yeah. So we do offer it for rental. However, our education department has become quite busy. In the last 2 years, we're actually contacting 9,000 more students than we did in the 2 years prior to that. So we are a hustling organization, and we're basically using the Barbie for our field trips almost every single day of the year. We do our underwater robotics. We have if you happen to walk by the Riverwalk and see a big blue pool in between the two buildings, that is our pretend ocean for our underwater robots.
And so that's what's going on now. So now let's move into what do you do as education director and what are the programs that you administer? Because this is a particular summer camp going on right now this week, underwater robotics. However, they're ongoing things. So talk about the education department.
Perfect. So the education department is not just for kids. We educate a lot of adults as well. So if you notice all of the river cruise ships that come and dock at the museum or the port, all of those cruisers come into the museum and receive guided docent tours. So part of my job is to train all of our amazing volunteer docents how to give a great dynamic tour of our exhibits at the Maritime Museum. So we do that for visiting groups, for visiting cruise ships. We also do education activities geared towards adults. So this summer, which I'll talk about a little later, we're having a thing called Lighthouse Days. There's arts and crafts and things for kids, but there's some really informative lectures for our adults. During the winter season, January and February, we do our past to present lecture series. So I try to find some of the best speakers in the Pacific Northwest and bring them to the museum, and they do an hour and a half lecture, usually to a 75 to 100 person crowd on a Tuesday morning, if you can believe it or not. Okay. And so we're educating adults that way. But what I'm most proud of, because I'm a big kid myself, is our school education programs. We have a program called Museum in the Schools. It's where I got my start in the museum. It's been around for 23 years and has contacted over 100,000 students. It's a free program. We offer it. We will come to your school 4 times a year, and you can live as far away as Chehalis or Portland or Tillamook, and we will still come to your school for free and present a dynamic, hands-on, activity-based program.
What classes?
We do grades kindergarten through fifth grade.
That is ambitious.
Yeah, and this year, our teacher, our field educator, her name's Kelly McKenzie, she's fabulous, presented 416 education programs in classrooms all over Oregon and Washington.
That's so important, because our maritime history is rich, and to understand where you live, the sense of place, why these things happen, that's crucial. And so these outreach programs are your favorite things, really.
Yeah, it's where I got my start in the museum. You really get to know the kids when you're visiting them 4 times every single year. Well, it's not bragging if it's true. So I will mention that. Literally once a week when I'm somewhere in this community, I will hear somebody say, they used to call me Nate the Great, the kids did, and they say, is that Nate the Great? And mind you, I'm about 50 pounds heavier, and I'm bald. I do not look the same, but they recognize the voice. And, it could be from behind the counter at Papa Murphy's to the coffee shop to anywhere. And, the kids remember the museum and the programs that we taught. And part of our job, I think, is to bring that warm, fuzzy feeling of the museum into the classroom and really, hook these kids young and excite them about our amazing history and sciences that we have here on the North Columbia.
And you know what? A museum is not a static thing. A museum, especially the Montgomery Maritime Museum, is active and engaging people.
It is.
I think we should also mention that you are a nonprofit. You're a 501c3, which means that you get your funding from memberships and
absolutely.
From grants. And
no tax dollars. So no tax dollars go into the museum. We are funded strictly through private donations, memberships, and our admission.
Wow. And you're doing amazing work there. So, and your website, I'm going to ask people to check that out, CRMM, Columbia River Maritime Museum, but it's just crmm.org. Being a member of the Maritime Museum supports these incredible programs. There are all kinds of special events for members as well. So, and I know you have members throughout the Northwest, because this is, again, it's a jewel and a gem that just happens to be located here in Astoria. That belongs to everybody.
And that membership, it really just, like it is here at the station, it shows your commitment to that organization. And when we're writing grants for funding for education programs, and we can say, you know, we have this many members, that really helps people support our programs by saying, well, you have a built-in support structure. So again, the Maritime Museum isn't just for tourists. We really want our local people to come in. Our exhibits are dynamic. They're constantly changing. You know, you can come to the museum at least once a year and you're not going to see or have the same experience.
Absolutely. That's true. So you have a three-pronged job there, really. One is the docent training of the volunteers who give the guided tours of the museum, the outreach programs in the schools, and then you have on-site programs.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that we get so many schools from Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington, and they come here on their big final end of the year's field trip. Some of the groups were staying at the Armory, some stay out at Fort Stevens. So we get school groups just not from, you know, the local Clatsop County area, who, by the way, get into the museum for free on every single field trip and every single program if you're a Clatsop County school. Just wanted to put that out there. So the people come in and we have 9 different education programs for them to choose from. They're geared towards different ages. They're science-based. They're history-based. The one thing they all have in common is that they're student-focused and activity-based learning programs. So nowhere is somebody up there talking at the students. There are simulations. One of the ones I'm most proud of is when we talk about immigration, you know, everybody knows the story about Ellis Island and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we have a very localized immigration story here with the Chinese. Over at Napton Cove is a real jewel of the Columbia River. And I developed a program where the students take on roles of Chinese immigrants, and they go through the boarding process on a ship. If the first class passengers are on board, we bring them donuts and pizza while the steerage passengers are eating crackers and yellowish green water. So we really get them to have the experience of, you know, the different classes of being an immigrant. Uh-huh. And then when they arrive in the United States, the first class passengers have a totally different experience than the steerage passengers who are from China. They go through interrogations, and about half of them are deported. And it just really gives these kids the sense inside of what it feels like to be discriminated against. And it's not a fair thing. You know, everybody doesn't get pizza and donuts at the end, just those few first class passengers. Mm-hmm. And then that leads to a discussion back in their classroom about what sort of similarities we have today with immigration. And we let the teachers kind of make those connections with their students.
So living history, you bring history to life. And that's what's so wonderful, because we've learned that students, you don't sit them in a chair and lecture them. They need to be moving. They need to be active and engaged. So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking with Nate Sandel. He is the education director for the Columbia River Maritime Museum, which is a real treasure for us here in this community and for the entire Pacific Northwest and, well, everywhere, because people are coming from everywhere really here now. And they have ongoing classes. There are boat building classes in the Barbie Center. There are kayak building, I think, or something you said.
Yeah, all the kayaks are beautiful.
Yeah, and programs for adults and for children. Right now, there's a summer camp going on. There will be other opportunities, because there's always something going on every day there. It sounds like through the summer, there are things happening. But let's talk about Lighthouse Days.
Absolutely. Well, so I was telling you about our past to present lecture series that we do in the wintertime, which is very well attended. Well, an opportunity was presented to me, a very esteemed author. She writes for Lighthouse Digest. Let me know that her book on Terrible Tilly, which for those of you who don't know is Tillamook Rock Lighthouse, is coming out this summer. And her publisher was sending out here to do some promotion. And we have a relationship with her through Lighthouse Digest. And she said, you have me for 2 days, put me to work. So over these 2 days, she'll be doing about 5 to 6 what we call Ed Talks. It's a play on a TED Talk. It's about a 10 to 15 minute short dynamic presentation. She'll be doing them on North Head Lighthouse, on Cape Disappointment Lighthouse, on Point Adams Lighthouse, and Desdemona Sands Lighthouse. Some of you might be thinking you don't know about those. They were former lighthouses in this area, and they have some really cool history that she'll talk about. She'll also do some presentations on the life of a lighthouse keeper. And she'll also do a few talks about Fresnel lenses that we have on display at the museum. So basically from 11 to 4 every hour, there will be arts and crafts where the kids can build their own working lighthouse. There'll be lectures, just a whole fun 2 days of everything lighthouse.
And that's happening on Wednesday, July 24 and Thursday, July 25. And it's free.
It is free with your paid admission to the museum. However, if you are a member, you get to come to the museum as many times as you would like through the year. So the program will absolutely be, everything will be free for you.
Exactly.
Including, I wanted to plug our evening event on that Thursday night. She will be doing a special hour-long lecture to museum members only after the museum closes. We'll have some light snacks and some hors d'oeuvres, just a really fun lighthouse night at the museum. And again, if you want to attend, just come and become a member.
Yes. I mean, I think, again, becoming a member is the very best way. They're family memberships because this is for something for the entire family. So Lighthouse Days is happening July 24 and 25, which is Wednesday, Thursday. And then for members only, that Thursday night, there is also a lecture. And also, you have a Facebook page where people can go and learn about some of these special activities that are ongoing.
Absolutely. So once a week, we love to do outside activities on the plaza where we can do some things we can't typically do in the museum, like, you know, fish prints where we paint on fish and then push them onto fabric or t-shirts that people can actually take home and wear, to building models of Coast Guard cutters and working fishing boats, just all the things that, you know, in that museum area we can't do. We can do them outside. And we'll post every Monday what activity we'll be doing for the week and what day we'll be doing it. And of course, it's weather dependent. So
right,
that's why
of
we
course.
Wait every week.
Is that for kids or is it for adults or both?
So it's kind of funny when we always have people come up and, you know, they think it's just for kids building these little, you know, model boats. And next thing you know, we'll have adults come and ask for them. And so it's not just for kids. We'll never turn an adult away from doing one of our activities.
Okay, and we're all kids at heart anyway. And because you mentioned about models, we have got to talk about, because this is so phenomenal when you just told me about this, the mini boat program, the connection between Oregon and Japan. And that's something that you, I mean, we are so lucky to have Nate here. That's something that you saw. You saw something happening, and you took that idea as an educator, and you made it into an educational opportunity for young people. So why don't you explain what that is?
Yeah, I was speaking at a STEMposium, a symposium about STEM-related, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And I saw this from across the room, this like 5-foot model boat. And I was like a moth to a flame. I was in the middle of a conversation with a coworker, and I just left the conversation mid-sentence and went over. And I asked them, like, what is this? And they said, oh, it's this kit that somebody purchased to put together. And I think they can go out in the ocean and you can track where they are. So I immediately went to the website who sells this kit and found out that for not a bad price, you can buy these kits and build these boats with GPS locators. And students on the East Coast of the United States have been pushing them out into the ocean for a few years, trying to sail them across the Atlantic. However, there had only been 2 boats ever attempted in the Pacific, and they were only at sale for a couple of days. So I took this model boat kit and created a special education program for our students here in Oregon. We picked 5 classes. classes in Oregon. They all apply through an application process, and I match them up with five classes in Japan in an area in a city called Hachinohe, which is at the northern end of Honshu Island. The reason we picked this community in Japan is in 2011, there was a large earthquake and tsunami that destroyed this fishing village. One of their Shinto shrines, the top of it is called a Kasagi. It floated for 2 years across the Pacific Ocean and landed in Oregon. And this Shinto shrine is very important for the fishermen. It gives them good luck as they're leaving the fishing port out into the ocean. It made its way to the Portland Japanese Garden, where they raised money to send it back to Hachinohe and installed it in its original spot. So we figured if a Kasagi gate can float across the ocean, our little sailboats could as well. And so we already had this connection with the two communities. And so that is where we brought the five boats built by the Oregon students to Hachinohe. And on December 20th, we launched those five boats into the Pacific, and they are on their way sailing, hopefully, to Oregon very soon. The other five classes in Oregon built their own boats to launch from North America. We launched three from the mouth of the Columbia River. Thank you, Columbia River Bar pilots. We also launched one off of the Alert, one off of the Steadfast. Both of those were off of Baja, Mexico. And the cable ship Decisive that was in port here took one of her boats on their way to the Panama Canal and launched it as well. That current boat that the Decisive launched near the Panama Canal has sailed since December 17,000 kilometers and has crossed the international dateline. A world record setter for any mini unmanned sailboat in the Pacific Ocean.
That's pretty phenomenal.
And I'm very proud, if you can't tell.
Yes.
The kids, it's fantastic. They, you know, their grandparents, their aunts and uncles all over the country are tracking these boats, because you can go to our website and click on a button and see on a map where all these boats are and learn about their individualized stories. So it's engaging the students, the parents. They're learning about dead reckoning. They're doing math calculations. One of the schools drew an entire world map on their classroom wall. They painted it, and they put the latitude and longitude lines, and every day they put a mark on their map of where their mini boat is. So the students are learning, you know, they're writing letters with their Japanese friends, they're learning math, they're making predictions, looking at ocean currents and weather data, where these boats might apply next. It's just one of those things where everybody is learning and nobody knows they're learning because they're just having too much fun.
Well, Nate, the light bulb went off in your head when you saw that, and now you created this educational program, which is linking cultures, linking students. That's just an amazing story. So we can find out more about that on the website, right?
Absolutely.
I think Terry Wilson has a question.
I just want to be a kid again.
I know, especially one who's working somehow with Nate or in some of his programs he's designing.
Well, somebody, you know, they ask me, well, how do you do that? And I say, well, you know, I'm just a big overgrown fifth grader. So I look at things as, what would I want to do if I was in fifth grade? And that's really how I look at when we're developing our education programs. I was not a kid who liked to sit in a classroom and listen to people talk at me. I wanted to explore and learn on my own.
Yes, I think that's the very best way. Also, we didn't mention that the Maritime Museum, I mean, when a ticket for an admission to the Maritime Museum not only gets you all these exhibits and a tour of the Columbia River Lightship, and then I think there is an additional fee, but you have a film playing. You have a 3D film.
Yeah, so we have two 3D films I'm showing right now. They're an additional $5 with your admission, or if you're a member, they are always free. We have one that we also showed last year on hurricanes, and it was so popular that we held it through again this year. If you are a cloud nerd like I am myself, those 3D cloud images are just amazing. And we have another one showing on aircraft carriers, which you can really feel that rumble and you really feel like you're taking off with those airplanes. Another really outstanding 3D film.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of local people. And again, the Columbia River Maritime Museum is a resource for all of us who live here, not just our visitors. And the gift shop is terrific. I mean,
yeah, it's one of those things where when I'm looking, when it comes time for certain holidays and birthdays, when I'm looking for gifts for people, you know, my number one stop is always our museum store. Blue Anderson, our manager, she does some really good buying. There's unique things that you won't find anywhere else in the community. And of course, lots of your Columbia River Maritime Museum gear.
Yes, absolutely. And so, Nate, we just have a few minutes left. And clearly the passion for what you do is coming through. And what maybe have we not talked about that you'd like to talk about? What is something that you think maybe local people need to know more about? Just anything you'd like to say at the
end of this. Yeah, so our exhibits are constantly changing. So if you haven't been in to see our Science of Storm exhibit, it's really a really interactive, fun exhibit. We have this huge wall, and it's these different NOAA weather simulations. So you can see the ocean currents roaring through. You can see the current real-time cloud formations over the entire Earth. And for those kids and adults acting like kids, which I see every day, we have a TV studio. Just like they do at the real weather station, you go behind a green screen and you can give your own weather report. And I tell you, there are times when I see some grandpas and grandmas in there giving weather reports, and it makes my day every time I walk by there and see adults acting like children.
You know, I mean, museum equals fun when you're talking about Columbia River Maritime.
Yeah, so. And it's really interesting when with all of our learning labs, our on-site programs, you know, when the kids come in, I give them our rules of the museum, and I have one rule and for visiting schools, and that's to be respectful. We are not a library. We don't want kids whispering. We want kids having fun. Now, we don't want them jumping off the glass and, you know, hanging from the mast of the lightship, but noise means fun to me, and it means learning. We're not a stagnant, stuffy museum. We are a hands-on, exploring. You know, we want, when kids are talking, they're talking about what they're looking at, and we want that excitement. So, you know, if you're coming in looking for a quiet, relaxing place, you know.
Well, you have, here's what's interesting. There's both. You have, I mean, if someone wants to just wander the exhibits, I mean, that's what's great, is you have programs for all ages.
Absolutely.
And certainly in the summer, you have more things going on that are really targeted for young people, I think, right?
Yeah, and adults as well. Something I learned last year is I randomly did these things that we talked about called Ed Talks, little short TED Talks. And all of a sudden, half the museum would leave what they were doing and come in and listen to these little talks. And it sort of, you know, I'm always so kid focused. It alerted me, hey, adults want to learn too. And so we're trying to do two or three of these every single day on different subjects. And for me, I love to excite the adults as much as I love to excite the kids.
And that's and because really we are all kids. We're pretending to be adults, but honestly, does anyone really know how to be an adult? I don't know. Gosh, Nate, thank you so much for being here. I mean, it's very exciting what you're doing, and I would really encourage all of you who are listening to check out their website, crmm.org. You can also call the museum and ask what things are happening that day, you know, right, during the summer and whatever. And they have a Facebook page. So really engage with this amazing treasure we have, the Columbia River Maritime Museum. And Nate, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me and letting me just talk about my favorite thing, which is education in the Columbia River Maritime Museum.
Well, it's a very important thing. So thank you for doing it and for being so passionate about it. Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, thank you for being here today and doing what you do well and best and better and fabulously. And also my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's so good, so healing, so good for body, mind, and spirit. And then, with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. Those points of light. There will always be things that aren't going well. Focus on the things that are. And then find that time to renew yourself and give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can. Everyone really is. And for being here now in this moment, the now moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.
Thank you.